Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Tetzaveh. So the Chizkuni starts off explaining why our Parsha starts off with the Shem and Zayas for the menorah. So the Chizkuni explains, similar to what he said in the previous Parsha, that once Hashem told us about the building of the Mishkan, and now we have this Mishkan, this house, first thing you need it in it is light. You need to turn the lights on so people can see where they're going. So that's why it starts off this week's Parsha with the light for the menorah. Now, there's an amazing diuk he has here. It says, "V'yikhu eilecha shemen zayisach." Take for you olive oil. So, if you remember, Truma started off, "V'yikhu li truma." Take for me truma. And here it says, "V'yikhu eilecha shemen zayis." Take for yourself shemen zayis. So he said that this is exactly the point. The light in the menorah is for you guys. Like Chazal tells, "V'chila orahu tzarech." Hashem doesn't need the light of the menorah. So the light is for the people walking around in the Mishkan or in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's v'yikhu eilecha, take for you Shem and Zayis, as opposed to the Mishkan itself. That's v'yikhu li truma, like Chazal say, "Yikhu li lishmi." Rashi says, "Ikhuli lishmi, take for me, in my name." That's the Mishkan is built for Hashem, but the menorah, that's for you. So that's v'ikhuli lach Hashem and zayizach. And he says the proof that it's for you is the next pasuk. It's saying v'ikhuli lach Hashem and zayizach, I'll take oil for you. The oil moed michutz laparoches asher leidus yarochas oaron. Where should you put the menorah? Put it outside the paroches. What does that mean? Because Hashem, Kaviyachal, lives, you know, so to speak, in the Kodesh HaKadosh. It means Hashem's presence is bigger in the Kodesh HaKadosh. And where do we put the menorah? Outside, behind the parochas, behind the curtain, in the next room. All right, so you see, Hashem doesn't need the menorah, the light of the menorah, it's for you. So that's how the continuation, the hemshech of the psukim, that's how it goes. Take a yikhu yilech and shayim zayizach to put outside the parochas. That's where the menorah goes. Okay. Now, Chazal tell us, how much oil did they use? So, Chazal tell us, the pasuk says, Merivat Boker had to last from the whole night. And they were Meshire, it would be a Chatzi Log for the longest winter nights, for the Leili Tevis, the longest winter nights, half a log of Shemin was enough to burn the whole nights. And that's what they used every night. As Rashi says, in Mivasari and Bekachlum, if there's leftover, so what? So they could always have leftovers. So they would use a Chatzi Log Shemen, and that would last them the longest winter nights. But in this summer nights, sounds like that's what they use too. And if there's leftover, it's okay. So the Chizkuni argues about that. And he says, no, they did not have leftovers. What they would do is, in the summer nights, they would use thicker wicks. So the bigger the wick, the more oil it uses. So in the winter nights, they would use smaller wicks, thinner wicks. In the summer nights, they would use thicker wicks. So either way, the Chatzi Log Shemen would get used up each night. Okay. Then the next thing we talk about is the Big Day Kahuna. So it says, Eileh HaBegadim, these are the Begadim, the Big Day Kahuna that you should make. Choshen, Ephod, Me'il, Kasonas, Tashbetz, Mitznefes, Ve'avnet. So it lists some of the Big Day Kahuna. It looks like an exhaustive list, but it is not. It is missing the Mechnasayim. Okay, why didn't it say the Mechnasayim? So the Chizkuni is not so bothered by that, because that's not something for kavod. That's to cover the erva, right? So that's, Mechnasayim is not a derech kavod, so we don't mention the Mechnasayim. Okay, but the Chizkuni is bothered why it does not list the tzitz. The tzitz should have been in the list. So he leaves that as a question. In the Mosadar of Cooks, in the notes on the bottom, they have the Sefer Moshe of Zakenim answers this question by saying that it says, speak to the Chachmei Lev to make these begadim. And the tzitz did not require much chachma to make it, and that's why it wasn't in the list. Okay. Then we have, some psukim later, the description of the choshen, the breastplate that had the 12 stones on it. So the Chizkuni has, translates all the 12 stones. And many of them are actually English. I mean, you know, like nofach, he translates as carbuncle. That's English. It's also, there's a stone called the carbuncle. Pitadai has emerald. So there's, and there's others. So a lot of them you can figure out. But anyway, he's got the 12 stones, and he also discusses exactly what was written on them. So he says they all had the same amount of letters, the exact same amount of letters, and that was six. Each one had, each stone had six letters on it. Now, not every name of the 12 Shvatim had six letters. Okay, but the Gemara tells us that you need to cover all the letters. Not all the letters of the Aleph Beis are included in the 12 tribes. So the Gemara says, there's no Tzadi. So Rosh Moshe Bar Yitzchak says, well, besides the 12 Shvatim, it also said Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then the Gemara says, well, what about Tess? So Rav Acher Bar Yaakov says, it also says Shifti Yeshurun. So besides the 12 tribes, Reuven, Shimon, and the rest, it also says Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Shifte Yeshurun, and then you get all the letters. Okay, so the Chizkuni says the way it was written was six letters on each stone. So you have Reuven Aleph. Remember, go with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the first stone, Odem, had Reuven Aleph, and then the second stone had Shimon Beis. So far we got Av from Avraham. Then the third stone had Levi Raham. So, in other words, it's all divided equally. Each stone had six letters on it. And the, amongst the 12, in other words, each stone had the name of a Shevet, plus some of the letters of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shifti Yeshurun. And it equaled out exactly evenly to be six letters for each stone, 12 stones. That's the total of Ayin Beis, 72. And he says that is a remez to the Shem HaMeforash, which is, has 72 letters. Now he also brings a question on Rashi. Rashi says they were, that the Shvatim were listed in the order that they were born. So he says that can't be, that it's in the order they were born, because then Dan was the fifth child born, and that would make him on the wrong stone, because Rashi and Shoftim brings that Leshem, Dan had Leshem. That's Rashi and Shoftim, based on a pasuk in Yehoshua. It's in Shoftim, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Rashi there says that Dan's stone was Leshem. So to get Dan be Leshem, Rashi can't have it that it's Kesedus Aldosim, because Dan was born in fifth, and yet he obviously is listed seventh. So anyway, what he answers, perhaps, is that it's the order of the Imahos, in that sense. Like, what we would all assume. It's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, you know, like that. So not literally in the way they were born, but in the order that, based on the mothers. One mother's full list, and the second mother's full list, and in the order they were born. So Dan comes out seventh. Okay. This, about the ephod, he describes the ephod. You know, most of us, I think, know the picture from the art scrolls or whatever you see pictures. The picture I think we're most used to seeing is like what Rashi described, where it's some kind of thing that was on the bottom half of you, covered the legs, and then stopped basically, you know, halfway up around, and then there were two straps that went over the shoulder, and then it wrapped also around the front. The ephod, like you see in all the typical picture books. But the Chizkuni brings the Yesh Mefarshim that the ephod was kamin lavush katzer shekurin corset. I don't know if you know what a corset is, but it's kind of like almost like a life jacket, not the big orange ones, like the ones you wear if you go white water rafting or something, like those ones that go around the whole top of you. That's kind of what it is. So that's, if you look other places, you'll see that there are two possibilities of the ephod. Either it was what we have in the pictures in the Rashi books, or the other way, that it was in the, like a corset, like it just covered the top. And these Yesh Mefarshim have a lot of eyes that it was not at the bottom, it was at the top. Like, again, like a life vest kind of looking. Because it would have been so, you know, it's so thick, the strings, it would have made it hard to walk. and whenever the coin would have tilted to the right, then his straps would have fallen off. Okay, anyway, that's the other Mishnah Mefarshim. If you look in other picture books, or if you go to the Temple Institute, you'll see other pictures. There's two types. It's either the ephod we're used to, or this other one that, again, is basically like a life vest looking thing. That's the Choshen went over that. Okay, then we have the description of the karbanos that the Kohanim have to bring to become Kohanim. And in that description we have in Perek Chavtes Pasuk Yudalef, it says, Ves Basar HaPar Ves Aro Ves Pirsho Tetzrof Ba'esh. You should burn it, the par Ba'esh. And Rashi says, L'matzinu Chatas Chitzona Nitzrefas Elazur. You won't find a Chatas Chitzona, I mean a Chatas brought on the regular Mizbeach, burnt, except this one. So the Chizkuni asks that there's a long laundry list of plenty of times where we have a Chizchatas Chitzon and Nisrefes. One is in Shmini, in the Egel of Aaron, in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vesa Basor Basor Saraf Ba'ish. And we have in Bamidbar, Perek Ches Pasuk Ches, the Egel of one of the Egel of the Levium. And you have in Ezra, it says there were 12 Tzvirei Chatas that were burnt, and there was a chatas over there, and the par la'asid, and Yecheskel, Perek Memheichav Beis. We also have a chatas chitzonos nisrefes. All those are examples of a chatas chitzonos nisrefes. And the thing is, Rashi, if you look in Rashi, Perek Tes, in Shmini, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph that we mentioned before, there Rashi says, Lo matzinu chatas chitzonos nisrefes, elazu vishel miluim. Okay. There Rashi says, only this one and the Miluim. So the Riva says that this is the answer to all the Chizkuni's questions. Every place that the Chizkuni brought is a type of Miluim. So when you're doing Miluim, then you can have a Chatas Nisrefes. That answers all the questions. Okay. Now we have an unusual thing over here, where the Karbanos that are being brought in our Parsha and Tetzaveh for the Kohanim, so it says that they sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. But then you also have in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Lakachta min Adam Asher al HaMizbeach. You take the blood that has been put on the Mizbeach, Mishem HaMishcha, Vehizesa al Aharon, Veal Begada, Veal Bana, Veal Bigdevan of Itova, Kadashu, Begadav, whatever. So you take from the blood that was already put on the Mizbeach, you take it off the Mizbeach, and you sprinkle it on Aaron. That is unusual. We don't usually have that. Blood sprinkled on the Mizbeach, then you take off the Mizbeach and put on the Kohen. So the Chizkuni says that this unusual procedure is to connect them to the Mizbeach, to connect the Kohen to the Mizbeach, to make it that these Kohanim, they're the ones that are going to be the Mesharsei Hashem. So that's how you connect the Mizbeach to the Kohen. You take the blood that was put on the Mizbeach, take it off, put it on the Kohen, that connects them. Then we have in, later on, towards the end of Chamishi, in Perek Chavtes Pasuk Lamed Zayin, it says that the Mizbeach is Kodesh Kadashim, Kol Hanogea B'Mizbeach Yikdash. The Mizbeach is Holy of Holies, Kodesh Kadashim, and whoever touches it is Yikdash, or whatever touches it is Yikdash. So, the Chizkuni explains, what does it mean that the Mizbeach is Kodesh Kadashim? It means that it's Kodesh like Kadshim. That's how he understands it. It's Kodesh like the Kadashim. And whoever touches it as Yikdash, he says, means that they have to prepare themselves. This is, of course, not like Rashi. Rashi says, even a carbon puzzle that goes on the Mizbeach is Mekadeshit, that you don't take it down. Okay, but anyway, the Chizkuni is saying that Kalana Geba Mizbeach Yikdash. Yikdash means not, it means that they need to prepare themselves. They need to be mitire themselves. Similar to like when the pasuk says, "Gam ha'kohanim hanigashim el Hashem yiskadashu," they have to make themselves. So it means they have to prepare themselves. That's how he understands kol hanegiyah mizbeach yikdash. And the pesukim go on to describe the carbon toda that we are for every day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. And it says it's in pasuk membeis olas tamid ledoro sechem. It is an olas tamid for your generations. What does that mean, for your generations? So the Chizkuni says it means you don't need to bring it in the Midbar. You got that? They didn't bring the carbon tamid in the Midbar. It was only after they went to Eretz Yisrael, after Biyasam La'aretz. That's what Lador HaSeicha means, not now, later. When you get into Eretz Yisrael, that's when you bring the Karban Tamid. And he says that's what it sounds like from the Pasuk. Olas Tamid HaSuya B'Har Sinai. The Olas Tamid was done in Har Sinai. It wasn't done much else afterwards. And like the, we know the Pasuk says, in Amos, it's famous, it says, Hazvachim Mimincha Yigashtem Li B'Midbar B'Yim Shana B'Yis Yisrael. Did you bring for me Zvachim and Menachos in the Midbar for 40 years? And the Chizkuni says, they couldn't have possibly be brought carbon tumbas. Where, how are they going to bring a mincha? Where did they get all this flour and oil? Where would it have come from? And for the Musafim of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Moedim, so he says they didn't bring the carbonos in the Midbar. Now, I know Chazal tell us that when they, if they had wanted to eat meat, they had to bring it as a carbon, but the official carbonos, they didn't bring in the Midbar. Again, except for very few exceptions. Okay, then it says, after that, you'll have this Mishkan, and it will appear there for you. V'kidashti yisal moed, shechanti b'soch b'nei yisal, v'yisi lahem l'ilokim. I will dwell in you, b'nei yisal. I will be for you a God, v'yedu. So what does that mean? I'm sorry, v'yadu. V'yadu ken yashem l'kim. How does that go together? So he says, when I give this Mishkan, and then you'll know that I took you out of Mitzrayim. Meaning this is the reason, says the Chizkun. This is the reason I took you out of Egypt. I did it for the purpose of dwelling amongst you, having a Mishkan and dwelling amongst you. And this is why I took you out of Egypt, as the Pasuk said before. The purpose is a Mishkan to dwell amongst them and for them to serve Hashem. That's why he took them out of Mitzrayim to have this Mishkan and dwell amongst them. And one last point, when it talks about the Ketores. So it says, do not bring a Ketores Zara. Don't bring a strange Ketores. So the Chizkuni says, a Ketores Zara is any Ketores that is brought privately. Meaning it's not Michel Tzibur. Any Ketores that isn't Michel Tzibur, like a personal giving of a Ketores, that is a Ketores Zara, and that's what he says is what Nadav and Avihu brought, and that's why they were punished. It says over there in Esh Zara, so they brought from themselves, they brought not from the Tzibur, and that's why they're in Enosh. More about that in Shmini.